Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. Sexual immorality. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By the power God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee then from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. Amen.
Thank you, Kate. I'm going to lead us in a little thought experiment. And what I would like you to do is to think what emotions immediately bubble up as I tell this story, which is a fictional story. It's fiction. I have made it up. It is not a real story. Now, I apologize to our Ukrainian friends. You will find this story hard to hear, but it is fiction. I have made it up, okay? But see what emotions come up. So imagine a Ukrainian soldier. He's got the uniform with the colors, the yellow and the blue, and he's proud in that uniform. His mum and dad remember the day when he completed his basic training and they went to see him in the passing out parade, standing proudly with the other soldiers wearing their soldier's uniform. But now, this is the difficult bit. Now imagine, now we're in wartime, that he is to be seen in that uniform over on the other side with the Russians pulling the firing pin on the Russian artillery sending the shells over. What emotions come to you? What does that stir in you? Just quick fire out, quick shout out a key word. What comes to you? Fear? Yeah. Well, you want to have love, but there's other emotions that might come. A Ukrainian soldier.
Anger.
Anger, yeah. Like, what the heck is that? Yeah, and like, you just, what can I do about this? Why is that? These are natural reactions to come to the surface in us hearing such a story. It's a fictional story. Okay, forget that story. It was fiction. Chuck it in the bin, but hold on to some of those emotions, the fear, the anger, the revulsion maybe. Now I'm going to tell you another story, which again is fiction or abstract, but we all know it could easily be real in some way. A Christian, a follower of Jesus, someone who is a church member, someone that people know and respect, someone who we've just heard is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But then it comes to light that they have been behaving wrongly. They have been behaving badly. And in fact, it comes to light that their behavior, their bad behavior, is of a sexual nature. Now, what emotions come up in us? What key words come up in us? Okay? Disappointment, yeah. It's like, how can that be? Maybe a revulsion, I don't know. Maybe stuff, maybe there's an overlap with the emotions with the first story, a sense that that is not fitting for the uniform that that person has been proudly wearing. The two are incompatible. They don't go together. How can that be? Well, today's passage from 1 Corinthians is about behavior, especially behavior of sexual nature. But today I am not going to talk about sex, because today's talk is actually all about being a temple of the Holy Spirit. We can talk sex some other day, any position you like. We'll do that another day, right? But not today, because today's topic is about being a temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But three technical points on sex before we move on. Because I know that you all want to hear stuff on that subject. So, first, sexual immorality is, in this passage, not defined. In fact, in this chapter, sexual immorality is not defined. You need to look elsewhere in Scripture to construct your definition of sexual immorality. An example is given in this passage, but it is not defined. The second technical point is verse 18, where Paul says all other sins are outside the body, but sins of a sexual immorality nature are done against the body. That's interesting. I find myself wanting to disagree with that. And so here we have to wrestle with Scripture, because I'm thinking, well, are not the difficulties of abusing your body with alcohol or drugs or other things, are those not sins against your body? And yet Paul says all other sins apart from the sexual ones are outside the body. So there I find myself wrestling with Scripture. And in this case, wrestling with Scripture, normally we find ourselves wrestling with Scripture because Scripture seems to prohibit something that wider culture wants to say okay. But in this case, I'm wrestling with Scripture because Scripture is not saying enough about stuff that even culture says is not okay. This is the other way around. It shows how we have to wrestle with Scripture and think, what's going on here? Second technical point. Third technical point. We know that sexual immorality is not the only bad stuff that we can do. There is plenty of other bad stuff that we can do. And yet, in this passage that Paul writes, he does seem to be teaching that there is something special about sexual behavior. He's putting it in a category of its own, a special category, if you like. And I think that that's because Paul writes that sex is two people coming together, uniting. And in the God-intended marriage context, that is a metaphor. That's a kind of a picture that points to a bigger meaning, a metaphor of how God intends us to be forever permanently united with Him. verse 13, Paul says, the body needs food. Yeah, for sure. But of course, that's temporary. You eat the food and it's gone, and then you need some more food. And then he goes on to say, well, even your whole physical body that you have right now is temporary. And yet, sex unites, pointing to, and this is a mystery for us, but points to a greater permanence, a risen body raised up to be united permanently with God. So, three technical points. We'll move on to talk about our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we'll start that with our fourth technical point. Paul writes, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he doesn't write. He doesn't write, our bodies might be a temple of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't write, our bodies could be a temple of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't write, one day our bodies will be temples of the Holy Spirit. He says, our bodies are, right now, a temple of the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't actually write, your body was a temple of the Holy Spirit until you started messing up with this sexual immorality. So let's remember who Paul is writing to. He's writing to believers. He's writing to followers of Jesus. In this case, it initially targeted in Corinth from the area, but he knows his letter's probably going to get passed around. He's writing to those who are following Jesus. The logic that we conclude from that is that if you believe and follow Jesus, then you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I can't find any other definition, any other way to think it through. If you're a follower of Jesus, then by Paul's logic, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He's saying that you have this status even though some are sinning, abusing their body. So he's saying that even this sexual sin, even this sin that he perhaps puts in a special category in this passage, is not removing their status as temples of the Holy Spirit. But of course he is saying that there's no way that we can understand those as being compatible. There's no way that we can understand that those go together somehow. You are a body of your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, but how on earth can that go together with immoral behavior? How can that go together with doing things wrong in this kind of way? He says it just doesn't make sense. It's not fitting for the uniform. So think of it another way. Imagine a royal palace, Buckingham Palace, if you like, the throne room in a royal palace. You wouldn't expect the throne room in a royal palace to have graffiti scrawled on the walls, dog mess down in the corner, pools of stagnant water and stains on the carpet and on the upholstery and the furniture. You know, as custodian of that throne room, you would never let that happen, because it is the throne room for royalty. But maybe that's the reality of our lives. Maybe we allow our lives to become totally inappropriate places for the majesty of the Holy Spirit to reside. And you might be sitting there thinking now, well, my gosh, is there anything I can do about that? But the good news is, come afresh to Jesus. Come afresh and ask his forgiveness. Because for whatever you have done, whatever stains, whatever blight or blots in the copybook of your life, if you ask him in, he will come in, he will clean up, he will enable you to then live forward in your lives with aspects of your life renewed, cleaned up, polished, not just polished, but absolutely beaming in the glory that he can bring. But if mess in our lives is a potential problem, here's another problem. And I want to suggest that actually this is maybe an even bigger problem than the problem I've just talked about, which obviously is a big problem. And that is that maybe we just don't even realize our status as a follower of Jesus. Maybe we don't even know that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so oblivious to that knowledge, we then do not live our lives accordingly. Go back to the military illustration, not necessarily Ukrainian. Any soldier who has been through the basic training, they've got the uniform, they've passed out. But then when the time of conflict comes, if somehow they then lead their lives as a civilian, you would ask, well, what's going on there? What's happening? Why are they not living up to the uniform that they earned? Or let's say a paramedic has been through all their training, and they've learned how to be a paramedic, they've learned how to administer first aid, they've learned how to use the defibrillator and all those machines and stuff, and to drive the ambulance. But then there comes the day when they drive out to the ambulance and they see someone who's got an ailment, they've been in an accident, and they get out and they don't deliver any first aid. You think, how can that be? Or our own lives as followers of Jesus, the people who have received Jesus into our lives, who are striving to live for him and yet are not open to the Spirit of God residing in our lives and flowing through us and ministering. How can that be? Remember that as a follower of Jesus, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, which means, if I use this as an illustration, that everywhere we go around us is this area where the Spirit of God is at work, because the Spirit is in our lives. So as I go out here and I leave this building and go off into town, then guess what? The Spirit of God comes with me, because I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is in my life. And so as I invite people to talk to each other, and I invite Carol to turn to her neighbor, and that she does so as a temple of the Holy Spirit. And let's say Suzanne goes into work and into her workplace, she does so as a temple of the Holy Spirit, as a parent who is, maybe they're a stay-at-home dad and they are looking after the young children, they do that as a temple of the Holy Spirit. That day when you go out to pick up your kids, maybe they're teenagers by now, and they've had a rough day at the gym, and they come in into your car and they sat down all of a gruff, and of course they won't talk to you because that's what teenagers do. You right there sitting in the car are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That means in that moment of gruffness, you have the capacity to minister to them. When you're in that difficult situation at work, when you're in that awkward conversation with a friend, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so have the capacity to minister right there and then in that situation, regardless of whether the other person believes or not. Because the Spirit of God is there in you. So the key question, which will come up on the screen, hopefully Google Translate works into the Ukrainian. Do I keep in mind that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? As you look ahead into your week or whatever you're going to do this week or in the next few weeks before the summer holiday, do you keep in mind that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Paul writes in verse 15 that, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Do you not know that you, as a follower of Jesus, is someone who here represents Jesus Christ? And then verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of Holy Spirit? You represent Christ, and the Spirit of God is right there for you. So live that status. Enjoy the status and live your lives accordingly. And so the challenge is to honor God with your body. Welcome his presence with you. Your body may be a temporary thing. It might be old and creaky like mine. But it has the capacity right now to point to Jesus and to point to something greater, the day when we can be permanently united with God in a new resurrection body. So the Spirit of God can equip you for any and every situation that you might find yourself facing. Honor him and welcome his presence. Let's pray a moment. Lord, may we be your vessels. May we grow up to understand what it means to be a temple of your Spirit. May we honor you and live our lives accordingly. Come now, Lord. May it not just be an academic exercise, but in this place, but something that we discover and see manifest 24/7. Through the week, through wherever we find ourselves, through whatever we launch ourselves at. And learn to smoothly operate as your vessel. To keep reminding ourselves that we are your temple. You choose to reside in us. It's your desire to be with us now. Amen. I'm going to skip straight to the songs. I'm going to ask the musicians to come and lead us in the songs in the final